It was supper, and I should have gone down to partake. I was hungry, but didn't feel it. Jenny had escaped, I reminded myself. I watched Greta's chest struggle to rise for every breath, and didn't want to acknowledge the truth. For every Jenny, there were 100 Gretas in this house. In other towns, there were more Gretas, Millas, and Darlins. Cherry's authoritative rap on the door brought me out of grim, dark thoughts. Leave her. You can't help. Once again, Cherry stayed outside in the hall. I think she's dying. She shouldn't be alone. You can't change it. She'll survive, or she won't. Cherry was much older than I was, true, but I felt as if I'd learned something she had not. Either way, how those hours pass matter. You sound like the preacher's been at you. Cherry frowned, and I could see her adding up the money Greta had cost, wasn't making tonight, and what it appeared I would not make tonight either. His way is of no use to you. No preacher could understand what I mean, or what she's going through. Her expression softened only slightly. That is a true thing, you've said, but it don't change the fact that you need to get downstairs. I made extra last night, Cherry, and I promise again tomorrow night. But tonight, let me at least be here, Milla. Stupid girl. But her gaze flicked to the bed behind me, and she turned her back and walked away. No permission for me to stay, but no order for me to leave. The house was noisy with shouts and merriment when I could no longer deny that Greta was sinking, and quickly. Her fever was, if anything, hotter, and she would not swallow when I drizzled water or whiskey at her mouth. I rifled through her bureau to see if there was anything else that might give her comfort. Wrapped tight inside a stocking, I found a thin chain with a locket, empty, and a cross hanging from it. I put it in her hand, but I'm not sure she knew it was there. Footsteps on the stairs were frequent with holiday visitors. Cherry would be angry enough with me for not working on such a busy night. Even if they were inclined, none of the other girls could join me in this sad vigil. I could not say what moved me then. I put on my long coat and risked what was left of my boots' resistance to mud to go out the back door. The moon gave me only enough light to spot pools of bathwater, partially iced over, and other waste that was flung from the windows in the course of a night. The wind sliced and bit at my legs as I skirted the house and made my way to the street. In spite of the bitter chill, men still roamed the night. In the dark, none of them would know which woman I was, but that I had emerged near Cherry's made me a target, should they decide to take advantage of my lack of escort and have some fun for free. I moved quick enough that only a street dog kept pace with me. It retreated when I turned into the churchyard and made my way around to the back door there. There was a light, and so the preacher's wife's sister was still awake. I tapped quietly, then louder, and waited. Through the door, the voice I heard as a soothing dream asked, "What is your need?" How did I explain? "I need your help." "The minister isn't here." "It's not him I need." The door opened a bit, and I could see a narrow slice of Hazel's face. Her eyes widened and flared for only a moment. Then her face settled into wariness. "It's late. What is it?"
"One of us? She's not well. I think she may die by morning. She's got her own Bible, but it's in German, and there isn't another. But I think something might comfort her. She keeps a cross on a chain. It's important. It matters to her."
I had thought she might give me a Bible, suggest a verse, and send me on my way. Instead, she opened the door more, and I smelled bread, fresh bread. "Come in," she said.